giving honor and glory to God and our pastor in his absence. Glad to be here this morning. You know, whenever I've been asked to do this, I don't think there's any place in my life that my insecurities, my self-esteem becomes more questionable than when asked to stand in front of you and bring a word from the Lord. Can always hear something inside me saying I'm not worthy. I don't know how Matt does it every week. Because you want to get inside yourself and find a word from the Lord, not just something off the top of your head. And when I was asked to do this week, it was in the middle of preparing some lessons for VBS, preparing some lessons for work, doing some DOC, Department of Corrections trainings at work, and so I was like, what do I talk about? And the first time I was asked to bring the word, I knew what I was going to talk about before I left church that day. Like, God had spoke and I was listening. And second time I was asked, it was through a text, and it was when me and Susan were on vacation, and I had just ran into a situation that touched my heart, so I knew what I was going to talk about. And this time, I really had no idea. And after a couple of days, I sat down and I did some reading and did some praying and some meditating, and a scripture came to mind. Romans 12:2, be ye not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by renewing of the mind. And I said, well, what am I supposed to do with that? And I was driving home that day, and I was listening to K-Love, and a song came on by a guy named Micah Tyler. It was a song I had never heard of before, and the song was called Different. And a guy just wanted to be different. And I listened to the lyrics of that song, and I said, that's my sermon. I want to be different. And so I got home, and I thought about it, and I still wasn't sure where I was going with that. Like, okay, but it really struck a chord in me. And, so my wife and I were talking, and she asked me what I was preaching on. And I said, well, the name of the sermon is I Want to Be Different. And it's on this song. And so I pulled up the song on my phone and I put it on our TV. But I had already looked at the lyrics of the song. But this time I played the video of the song. And the artist went into saying how I believe his grandmother had breast cancer. There had just been a hurricane in his town, and there were 10 inches of water in his house, and then his brother just found out he had stage 4 pancreatic cancer. And he went from saying, God changed these things. You know, so many times in life we look at situations and we ask God, you know, if a person gets sick, we pray for a healing. If a person is lost, we pray that they're found. Usually, our prayers are about changing a situation that we consider adverse. But he said, he heard God say, instead of praying that I change those situations outside of you, how about you pray that I change you so you're able to handle those situations? And then he went into the song. So I was touched immediately by his little testimony. And then he sang the song, and the song is a beautiful song. And at the end of the song, a scripture popped on the bottom of the video. And it was Romans 12:2, be ye not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by renewing of the mind. And it brought me to tears because it let me know that God had spoke. And then as if I needed more confirmation, at men's class this morning, at the end of the class, Brian spoke that scripture, and I just started smiling. I was wondering if they knew what I was smiling at, but I just smiled because it's wonderful to get a word from the Lord. So this message is for somebody in here today. Just want to be different. And before I really start, let us keep in mind those families in Ohio and Texas that are grieving this morning. And along with those families that are grieving that were victims of senseless violence, let us keep in mind the families of those men that perpetrated those crimes. I know those families of those people. Imagine if it was your son or your son, how you would feel this morning. They had to be some troubled men in order to do something like that. And so many times our humanness will be anger towards those people and what they've done rather than forgiveness, the same love, grace, and mercy that Christ has shown us. Let's make sure we show that to those families. So our scripture today was Psalm 51, verse 1 through 10. And it was a Psalm of David. And it was right after David had committed adultery, got the head of his army killed, and went through some consequences from the Lord. And mind you, David was a man after God's own heart. Loved David. But in Psalm 51, David realized that he wanted to be different. He wanted to be different. Create in me a clean heart. Renew a right spirit within me. It just reminds me of how you could be a man after God's own heart and still make some mistakes and still do something that people would perceive, that you would perceive, that God would perceive as a negative. But thank God that David was wise enough to go to the Lord and ask for forgiveness. And I think in all our situations, to be able to admit when I'm wrong. If you remember, the king before David, King Saul, could never really ask for repentance or admit when he was wrong. He just kept trying to justify his actions. But David, in the midst of being wrong, went to God. So I want to be different. And I got three teaching points. We're going to be out of here early today because I just got three teaching points. The first one is Proverbs verse 3, verse 5 and 6. It's the scriptures up there. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not on thine own understanding. Acknowledge him in all thy ways, and he shall direct thy path. So the first thing is that if I want to be different, I got to trust God. I've got to start with trusting God rather than viewing what I see on the news, what is common on Twitter, or what's the overwhelming thought on Facebook. Or I've got to trust in God. I've got to learn how to trust in God and follow God's word. I've got to learn to go to scripture when I want to find an answer. There's no question that I can ask myself or that somebody else can ask me that I can't find the answer in the word of God. I've got to learn to trust in that. I've also got to learn to stop trying to find the answer that I want to hear. See, sometimes at my job, we call it triangulation. A client will come to me and ask me something, and he don't like the answer I give, so he'll go to somebody else until he finds the answer that he wants. I've got to learn to not do that. I've got to learn to trust in the Word of God. I've got to learn to be confident in the Word of God and lean not on what I think is best. My way and God's way isn't always the same. I have to learn to trust in God's will for my life. And I always say that I may not always know what God's will is, but I always know what it's not. I always know when I'm doing something that's not of the Lord, when I'm leaning on what I think or what I believe. I have to watch who I find counseling. I've been blessed to have some godly men in my life, in this church. Men that I feel comfortable that if I have a question about a decision or choices that I can make, I feel comfortable going to my father-in-law. I feel comfortable going to Ed, to Brian, to my big buddy Will. I feel comfortable with going to them with my humanness and saying, I don't know what I'm supposed to do. Help. That's a lot of what I do in men's group. I just cry for help. I don't know what I'm supposed to do. Somebody help me. Because I don't know about you. I've never seen a burning bush, so a lot of my communication is God, is how he speaks to me through his people. And I have to trust that. And after that, I go to 1 Peter 2, verse 9. In that verse, I always thought it was funny that he calls us a peculiar people. In the King James Version, the scripture reads, but you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness and into his wonderful light. And in the King James Version, instead of God's special possession, it says that we are a peculiar people. Now, usually the word peculiar is associated with something negative. You know, when I don't know about you, but when I was in school, we picked on peculiar people. We made fun of peculiar people. And even today at work, we've got a couple people that we would describe as peculiar. But I looked up the word peculiar, and it means distinctive in nature or character from others. So as a peculiar people, we are supposed to be different from the world. The things that really stick out to the world should not really affect us that much. We should be able to notice a Christian or know somebody's a Christian by the way they walk, by the way they talk, by the way they carry themselves. If I'm being affected too much by the things of this world, about current events, about what I see on TV, about politics, about whatever, fill in the blank, I shouldn't be so affected by those things. I should be a little different. The things that affect everybody else or anybody else, as Christians, they shouldn't have the same impact. That's not to say we don't care, but we already know the end of the story, right? The Bible already tells us through prophecy that these things that are happening today were going to happen. But yet we get bent out of shape when they do, like, and we already knew they were going to happen. So I should be a little peculiar. I should be a little different. And I talked this morning, one of the areas that I know I need to grow in is the area of sports. We're on the dawn of a new football season. I know somebody else in here likes football. We're on the dawn of a new football season, and I can go from fan to fanatic real quick. You know, I could be bent out of shape about what my team did on that day. Like, I'm an Eagles fan that has a strong dislike for a certain team out of Texas. And I want you, you know, I can't even say their name. It's against the law. But that affects me much too much. You know, in the middle of an afternoon, 1 o'clock, by 3 o'clock, if I see all of my team lost, I don't even want to watch sports no more. I don't want to watch ESPN. I don't want to turn the TV on. Don't talk to me. Leave me alone. Over a game. And there are a lot of people like that. But as a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, a chosen people, should I really be that affected by those things? Sometimes I have to remind myself through the Word of God just who I am and whose I am. child of the King. I'm a child of the King. And as a child of the King, I should try and be holy and upright in all that I do and not really be caught up in the things of this world that really, at the end of the day, when I'm really honest with myself, have no value in life. I need to be a little more peculiar. You know, I always thought, and I've always known that I was a little peculiar. I have, that'll do it. My taste has always been different. The things that I enjoy doing are different. And sometimes you try to hide those things from people. You try to hide those things of you that you get a little embarrassed about. And I've learned to embrace who I am, and I don't care that I like all the Godzilla movies ever made. I don't care. I like some things that are different. Music, food, her. I like some things that are different. But it calls us to be distinctive in nature or character from others. So sometimes we, I don't want to use this term, but dumb it down to fit in. We don't want to stick out. We don't want to cause waves at work, at church. I've lately found it that my boss at work, any decision that has to be made on a client, we sit down as a team and try to come up with a group answer. After all, we don't take sending a man back to jail lightly. And in those group discussions, sometimes my boss will come up with this long, drawn-out thing, and then at the end of it, he always says, "Does that make sense to you?" And none of the other guys in the room ever say, no, they'll just always nod their head. And I've found it here lately, I'm that guy that stands up and like, that makes absolutely no sense at all to me. Be a little peculiar. He's one of them guys that talks in riddles, and he talks in parables, but he's not Jesus. I don't know what he's talking about. And I have I'm a little peculiar, and I tell him, I don't even know what you just said. Sometimes we walk out the room and be like, okay, what just happened? I don't know. But I want to be a little peculiar because the Bible calls me to be a little peculiar. I'm not going to compromise my values to go along with the Joneses. And I've done that before as a Christian. When something is wrong and I don't stand up, then I'm complicit in whatever that wrong was. I have a responsibility to the Jesus that lives in me to bring light to darkness, to call out injustice, to stand up for what I believe. And so, if I want to trust God, and I want to be a little more peculiar, I just really want to be different. And so how do I do that? And then I get to Romans 12, too. Be ye not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by renewing of the mind. All action is born in thought. I may say I wasn't even thinking when I did something, when I said something, but that's not really true. I didn't really think it out. But every action is born in a thought. We tell all our clients that their main problem centers in their mind. wasn't never about their drinking or their drugging. It was about the thinking that precluded the action that they took. And so if I want to be different, the first thing that needs to change is my thinking. If my thinking changes, then my actions will change. And in order for my thinking to change, I really need to examine myself to see where my thoughts come from. What is feeding my thoughts? If I spend more time reading Sports Illustrated than I do reading the Bible, what are my thoughts going to be on? It's real easy these days to get caught up in this microwave society of what's trending, what's popular. And I don't want to be the guy in the middle of a conversation that don't know what everybody is talking about. So all of a sudden I have to try and keep up with those things rather than separate myself from those things. Be ye not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by renewing of the mind. Making sure I'm feeding myself more spiritual things than I am worldly things. Trying to learn how to live in this world without living of this world. That's a hard task to do. I'm a real outward person, a real extrovert. I'm around a lot of people all the time, a lot of personalities, and sometimes having the courage to separate myself from conversations that aren't beneficial for me, that provide no growth, rather than being caught up in the jokes or gossip or innuendo or all those things that go on a daily basis that I know I'm really not supposed to be a part of, that does nothing but feed me negativity. I'm real conscious of the music I listen to. What am I feeding myself? I don't think there's anything wrong with some popular, I guess, music, or I don't want to be a holier than thou kind of guy. I want to be able to be the kind of guy that people feel comfortable to come and talk to. I know some of us have met those holier-than-thou people that, like, they look like they're on a mountaintop and everybody's scared to approach them. And I don't want to be that guy. But I also don't want to compromise my beliefs to fit in with what other people think I should be or to get along with other people. I want to be the kind of guy that people look at me and see Jesus. Look at me and see the Bible. And a lot of that is dictated on what I feed myself. My thought process comes from the things that I see, the things that I hear, the conversations that I have. If I want to be different, I need to be mindful of those things. I just want to be different. I want to be different. I want to change my criticism to compliment. I want to stop being so critical of other people and other situations and learn to focus on the good in situations rather than the negative. Because in every situation, whatever the situation could be, there's some good in it. Because all things work together for the good for those who love God and are called according to his purpose. So if I look at things from the proper perspective, I'll find some good in every situation. I want to turn my fear into faith. I'm so afraid sometimes this world and almost makes you don't want to go nowhere. Walmart is one of my favorite places to go. And one of the tragedies happened at Walmart. Am I going to be afraid to go to Walmart now? I have to turn my fear into faith. Sometimes we can let fear cripple us. Me and my wife are going to a concert next week. Going to see Big Daddy Weave. It's a gospel concert, a Christian concert. And today's current climate sometimes make you pause. Just to even want to go out and do something with your family. But I'm not going to give in to that fear. And faith, my God is not going to let me experience anything that wasn't meant for me. There's no gunman, no tragedy, no force of nature that's bigger than my God and my faith. I want to turn my fear into faith. I want to turn my worry into worship. I'm so worried about my children and so worried about their future and want them to be a better version of me. Want them to be better than I was. Want them to have it easy. I don't want them to have to experience all the pain and the negativity that I went through. Just want them to be better. And in this climate today, sometimes I worry about those things. And I need to turn my worry to worship. I need to remember that they're a gift from my God. They ain't even mine. I don't own them. They're God's children. I need to turn back to worship rather than worry. I need to turn anger into acceptance. I can get so bent out of shape and know that the Bible says anger is the devil's footstool and the foothold. Turn that anger that I get at situations and circumstances and turn it into acceptance, because I can't change it. What's done is done. Me being bent out of shape is only going to make things worse. Anger's a dubious luxury that I can't afford. When I'm angry, I make bad choices and bad decisions. So I need to turn that anger into acceptance. I need to turn doubt into dependence. Sometimes I can get so full of doubt about what's going to happen in situations with other people. Instead of doubting, turn that into dependence on God. Like, you got this. I can't handle it. I drove, was on the road the better part of all day yesterday to Louisville, Kentucky to pick up a guy to come for treatment, and had coordinated it all week, had made some changes to address with Social Security and got all the paperwork and everything done, and I showed up at his house yesterday and he wasn't there. And my first thought was doubting if he ever wanted help to begin with. But instead of that doubt, I needed to depend on God, and God knows best. Like, you handle that situation. I've done my part. Let me depend on you. I planted the seed. You provide the increase. I need to change every predicament into a praise. No matter what the situation is, no matter what it looks like, no matter how painful it is, it could have always, 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 always been worse. Could have always been worse. I think in one of those situations that happened, I believe it was, I don't know which one it was, the one in Texas, I believe, at the Walmart or wherever it was, the police were in that area. So it only took them a minute to respond and to take action, which saved the lives of a whole lot of people. So realizing that rather than focusing on the negative of that predicament, finding some praise in it that God worked through those officers of the law to show up and stop a situation from really being worse than it could have been. And so many times, I don't know about you, but I always think the worst. I like focus on the worst. Whatever a situation is, I'll always go to the worst case scenario. And those things never, ever, for me, never turned out as bad as they, as I can create it to be. So I need to be mindful to turn every predicament into praise. And finally, I want to be less hateful and more helpful. We live in a world of division right now. Hate is all that we see. so many divisions right now between haves and have-nots, race. The sexes. It's just so much division that's going on. And I could find myself trying to be on one side or the other. And I could get caught up in the hatefulness of our society today. Sometimes I get caught up in wanting to pick a side. My wife catches me because sometimes I go on Facebook and argue just to argue. I don't even believe in what I be putting on there. I just put it on there just to start some mess. And she always knows when I'm doing it because I lay there with this smirk on my face. I just get people riled up about nothing. But those things, I have to be mindful to start being focusing on being more helpful and less hateful. Because after all, I just want to be different. So let me just close with this. I want to be different. I want to be changed. Till all of me is gone, and that all that remains is a fire so bright the whole world can see that there's something different. And I'd love for all of you to come and be different with me. Because at the end of the day, I don't want to fit in. I don't want to conform. I just want to be different. If you don't have a church home or you don't know Christ, we would love to welcome you into our family. Once again, congratulations to the men who are baptized. Welcome to the family. But just know that Christ gave his life on the cross so that you could have a relationship with him. And if you don't believe you do, or if you want to renew your commitment to Christ, we encourage you to come forward. If you don't have a church home, we would love for you not to leave here homeless. We would love for you to join our family. So if you don't have a church home and you'd like to make this your church home, now we welcome you to come forward. And if not, I will turn it over to Will.